And when you get saved, you don't know that, but you enter into a school. And sometimes that school will let you become so frustrated, and then he'll move in according to your confession, what you say. And so sometimes he lets us, the schooling takes us into that place of frustration to make good decisions. Amen? And we want to make decisions based on what Jeff was talking here, you see, make good decisions and confess the virgin birth, the stripes on his back. Amen? Shedding of his blood, his death, his resurrection. If you don't know that, saints, and you don't build it into your mind, see, Satan works in your mind with lies. God works in your mind with truth. And then we have to, by the Spirit of God, make good decisions based on truth so we discern what we are thinking. If the enemy is trying to get you to rewind your life in the old film and trying to get you to believe that you're still under sin and you've been washed by the blood, you see, that's a lie. The truth is you've been washed by the blood. Amen? So the schooling of the Holy Spirit is very, very important. And God wants us to just continue on that and be built up and be awakened to some things that probably are going on that God can set us free from. Amen? The Holy Spirit school is to get you Spirit-filled. And when you're Spirit-filled, to get you to walk in the Spirit. That's what the school of the Holy Spirit's about. God in us, God the Holy Spirit, temple of the Holy Spirit. He's a teacher, counselor, comforter, strengthener, standby. And he wants to counsel us, teach us, and strengthen us. He wants us to walk in the Spirit, you see, being filled with the Holy Spirit, being filled with his gifts, being filled with his love, being filled with his peace, being filled with his gentleness and kindness. But there's a battle because you have an old man and a new man, and you got to listen to the new man and override the old man. Amen? Say, I'm alive with the life of God. Satan is disarmed. I have been armed with the name of Jesus, the blood, and the word of God. That's my authority in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Satan has come to steal, kill, and destroy. He does it through lies in your mind. See, what happened is God, I was up this morning at 3 o'clock this morning, and God was talking to me about being complacent. You know, that's what happens with the body of Christ. We stop growing. We're just complacent. Well, we may speak in a tongue once in a while, and we may read the Word of God. Oh, you're doing this? Well, yeah, but you know, I've been doing this for 10 years. So we get kind of complacent. And God says, the body of Christ, he told me at 3 o'clock this morning, including me, can get complacent. We just come in, we do certain things, and we go through this certain things, and we ain't striving to grow. We ain't striving for the supernatural. We ain't striving for the gifts of the Spirit. We ain't striving that the Holy Spirit fill this place and the Holy Spirit starts ministering, you see. The Holy Spirit brings the presence of Jesus. We're not striving for those things. You know why? We're locked into what can I get from God? My house, my car, my business, my money, and that's okay. But God says you must seek the kingdom first. See, when we come into Colorado first, when me and my wife moved here, oh, the mountains were so beautiful, and so on and so forth. And 2 weeks later, I didn't even know they were there. Complacent. You see, God wants you to understand that we can become that way, and it's the work of the enemy to get you that way so you don't strive to grow, to change. And all the time you're complacent, he's building lies into your thinking that this is all there is. If you and I get a great outpouring of the Spirit of God in our finances, in our lives, in the body of Christ, it still wouldn't be all. There's still more because God's a well with no bottom. Amen? Hallelujah. So it's important to understand, what are you thinking? Are you thinking truth or are you thinking lies? Is this all there is? God don't heal no more? That's a lie. God don't financially bless no more. That's a lie. You are a king and a priest, you see, and the enemy wants you to look like a worm and to think like a worm and to come against yourself and to put yourself down. But you've been washed in the blood 2,000 years ago. Amen? Washed in the blood. So that's the school of the Holy Spirit, to constantly build being Spirit-filled, to build Jesus Christ into our lives, to remind us of the things that Jesus has said. Amen? Hallelujah. So any power or influence of doctrine that causes one to become passive, inactive, to the supernatural, to the Word of God, it is not God. Because, saints, there is battles. There is against the flesh. And sometimes we become passive. There's too much work. No, I'm not, you know. And so God, the Holy Spirit, is with us, else we'd have given up a long time ago. The flesh would have given up a long time ago. But sometimes he allows, the schooling of the Holy Spirit allows you to become so frustrated, and then you wonder why, and you say, why am I so frustrated? Why isn't there more? Then he starts bringing more. He starts schooling you, there's more. He gets you to confess the name of Jesus, the gifts of the Spirit, the blood covenant, you see, that you've been washed in the blood. There's more. And then he starts teaching you that you are a son and a daughter, and you're qualified for all the blessings of Jesus. Amen? That's what the Holy Spirit does. He schools us continually. Some people quit school. Some people just don't want to go on. Some people are not interested in the supernatural. If you're not interested in the supernatural, believe me, saints, the enemy will take you for a ride you wish you'd never got on. We are truly in a spiritual battle. And God wants to open up to us, you see, not to become complacent, but to seek God. I was telling people Friday that the fivefold ministry is to equip. But guess what? If you're sitting under a pastor who doesn't minister, he can't equip you and teach you how to minister. Now, many pastors don't minister. So it's wrong not to, I mean, it's not wrong to not minister, just be a pastor. But if you're not sitting under somebody that you feel your calling is, you see, he can't impart anything to you. He's just pastoring. Pastoring is a great call. But you see, I pastor and I minister, and you can't learn or receive or be equipped from somebody who doesn't walk in a certain area. Does that make sense? Whether it be apostle, whether it be an evangelist, whether it be a prophet, whether it be a pastor, teacher, whatever. Well, Jesus walked in all of those things, didn't he? And he equipped the apostles. In other words, they could draw from Jesus because he operated in all of those. So you got to try to find out from the Holy Spirit, the school of the Holy Spirit, what are you called to do? And you're not called to just continually sit in a pew. You're called to serve God in some area. Amen? So as we come together and we're walking in our calling, then you have a cooperative anointing, then you have a spiritual awakening, and then people who will come in and feel the great move of love of God and want to accept Jesus or want to be here. Amen? Does that make sense to you? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, James 4:7. Say, the Holy Spirit will school me, give me power to resist the devil. James 4:7. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. James 4:7. Therefore, submit to God, submit to the schooling of the Holy Spirit. See, submit to the blood covenant that you are washed in the blood. Submit to the mind of Christ, which is the Word of God. Submit to the gifts. Submit to tongues. Submit to truth. See, get truth in your mind, because if you have your mind empty from truth, he'll put sin in your mind. So you got to, therefore, submit to God, that schooling of the Holy Spirit, walking in the Spirit, submit to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Why? Because if you build truth in you, truth will arise in you that the devil has no business on God's property. He has no business in your mind. He has no business in your finances. He has no business in your children or grandchildren or wife or husband and so on and so forth. So you have to submit to God. And the more truth you build in your mind is the more truth the Holy Spirit can use. He'll convince you you're way more than you think you are. You are what God says you are. So you got to learn to submit to God. In other words, you want to grow. You don't want to be complacent. You want to grow. You want to mature. You want to walk in the Spirit. You want to have a confession from the Word of God. You want to build truth into your mind. You want to believe and be convinced that no matter what you're up against, you have grace. You have favor with God. Amen? See, the whole body of Christ today, in the world today, has got very complacent. No one's seeking the Spirit. No one is seeking tongues. I don't mean no one, but a lot of people are not. The body of Christ, and because this church is being foreclosed on, church is going under. I talked to a businessman Friday, and he's in the area of financing churches who can't get financing from banks. He says, this is the greatest number of churches that have ever been foreclosed on this time right now across this country. Well, if people continue to be complacent and don't seek more of God and submit to God and grow spiritually and walk in the Spirit, the body of Christ, I'm telling you, the enemy will help you pull the plug, because you'll want to quit. You'll want to give up because you'll be like, well, it's just the same old thing, you know. And so we got to learn to submit to God. Amen? And that's why, saints, I have prayer lines Fridays and Sundays. You coming up here because there's something wrong in your life and you need prayer, I'm not helping you. It's the anointing. It's the Spirit of God. It's the gifts of the Spirit. It's the love of Jesus. It's the blood of Jesus. He wants you free. And you submit to God when you come up here. You're not submitting to me. I can't help you. But I do know what God's done in my life. You see, I submitted to God. That's the school of the Holy Spirit. I submitted the drug problem. I submitted to God as far as his healing was concerned when I had multiple sclerosis. When I had a death wish, I submitted to God. And I resist the devil because the Holy Spirit brought me to a school and taught me to receive truth into my mind and don't receive any more lies. So it was an ongoing thing. It didn't happen overnight. You see, I'm still growing. I'm still learning. You see. So Friday night here, after the Holy Spirit came upon me and I started binding Satan and Leviathan, which is a lying, twisting spirit, and he tries to get thoughts in your mind. I bind a pollen, because a pollen is a spirit of destruction. That's what's destroying the principalities and powers and a pollen, destroying all these nations over here are fighting and killing each other and so on and so forth. Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Egypt, and Yemen, and all these places that are going on, you see, they have submitted to another God. I don't want to see them go under. I want to see them get saved. Amen? Hallelujah. So the schooling of the Holy Spirit is going to get you to submit to God. Some areas you ain't going to want to submit. What if someone says, the Holy Spirit says, I want you, and you don't have this, I want you to pray in tongues. I don't want to do that. I don't understand what you're saying. I don't understand what I'm saying. If I can only understand, if you just show me, God, well, that's not the way it works. Hallelujah. Submit to God, resist the devil. So we ought to stand up under the anointing and schooling of the Holy Spirit and speak the blood, speak the name of Jesus. Amen? Speak the word of God. Hallelujah. Verse 8, draw near to God, he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Well, you know, the Bible says if you're double-minded, don't expect anything from God. And that's how the devil works. He tries to get lies in your mind. The Holy Spirit works at getting truth in your mind. So truth is the word of God, the spirit of truth. You see, it will agree with the Holy Spirit, and then you'll have the spirit, soul, and body agreeing. Now, this is a process we all go through, saints, and God wants you to know today you can be victorious. You can get over sickness. You can get over lack of finances. You can get over generational curses. You can get over that because he was the curse. He took the curse, did he not? Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Are you blessed? Are you happy? Well, you don't sound like you are. Yeah. See, that's what I'm talking about, complacent. Well, I don't think I want to clap. I don't want to raise my hands. Why is he jumping around? I don't want to jump. I just want to do it the old way. I just want to sit here, man. Then go home and say, I've been to church. It was so good. What did you say? I don't know. It was good, though. You got to pull the shield down and let the Word of God go in you. You got to get excited at what the Spirit of God is saying right now, because it's victory. I've got the victory in a lot of areas. Amen? Hallelujah. Number two, 1 Peter 5. Ooh. 8. Huh. George is waiting for the bee's nest to be loosed. Praise God. Amen. Verse 8 says, be sober. See, that can mean don't get drunk on yourself. Don't go to God and have it all about you. Fall in love with Jesus. Seek the kingdom. That's the schooling of the Holy Spirit. He said, I'll add to you. God's not against adding things to you. But sometimes we're drunk on ourselves. I just need this, and I'm so anointed, and I'm so... You got to make sure your gift is not more important than Jesus in your life. Did I ever tell you the story about myself in that I had a service one time. This Assembly of God pastor said, whenever you get God gets you ready, I'm just cutting it short, and whenever God gets you ready, you can use that church. And so I called him and said, I'm ready. And I went down there, man, I saw all kinds of healings and miracles. So I invited this couple to come home with me and Betty in our kitchen to have a cup of coffee. When we got home, I said, push over, Kenneth Hagin. Here I come. I didn't preach for a year. See, I thought I was more important than Jesus was. That's what the devil would like you to believe, you see. So when we get into authority, we have authority, but we better make sure he's Lord. Amen? He's Christ. He's the anointed one. And he's the one that's confirming the word that's coming out of us. Hallelujah. So don't get drunk on yourself. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And so this whole schooling of the Holy Spirit, putting truth into your mind, speaking the word of God, praying in tongues, build up your most holy faith, confessing that you have grace. Guess what? Everybody in here is going to get frustrated. But God said, I'll never forsake nor leave you. He's with you. And when you get to the point of real frustration and you start saying, God, what is wrong? You'll get victory. You'll grow. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. I'm trying to find something here. Okay, verse 9. Resist him, the devil, the one that's trying to devour you, steadfast in the faith. What is the faith? Speaking the word of God. That's your authority. You see, your sons and daughters, kings and priests, are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Speaking the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Everybody goes through some kind of suffering. I know we don't like to hear this. Some kind of trials. Some kinds of frustrations. That's what we go through. Well, the schooling of the Holy Spirit will bring you out the other side victorious. Because he won't forsake you. He won't leave you. He'll have you building truth into your mind. The enemy says, I'm going to build lies into you. And so we got to make sure there's more truth in our minds and there is lies. He wants to devour us, and he does it by lies. He comes to steal. He comes to rob. He comes to destroy. And he'll destroy us with lies if we just kind of kick back and say, well, whatever. Amen? God wants to awaken us, give us a fresh anointing today. He wants to tell us that you can overcome if you'll just enter the school of the Holy Spirit, become a doer of God's word. You see, speak the mind of Christ. Know that you are not just saying I'm a temple of the Holy Spirit, but God is in you. knowing that you are blood-bought. I don't care if sin comes into your thinking. You are blood-bought. That sin is forgiven. That's truth. That's faith. You remember Jesus said, I'll pray that your faith won't fail you. You know that he's with us, and he'll never forsake nor leave us. And when you get so frustrated, and this is beating you up, and that's beating you up, faith will come alive in you. It won't fail. Isn't that true? I don't care how long you've been out in the desert. I don't care how long you've been testings and trials. I don't care. God will give you your season. But see, he says, the Holy Spirit says, I want to school you. I want to teach you. I want to counsel you. I want to comfort you. I want to strengthen you with truth. And it's very hard to accept truth when you're in the desert. But nevertheless, it's available. Where is it? It's right here. It's right here in the Word of God. Hallelujah. Resist him. You see, we got to resist him. We got to resist him. We got to resist lies. We got to resist sickness. We got to resist poverty. We got to resist him. We got to resist Satan. And we got to be schooled by the Holy Ghost, and he'll help you resist. You got to resist thoughts of defeat. This ain't ever going to happen. That's a lie. You have your due season, and you'll reap if you faint not. Lean not to your own understanding. Acknowledge him, and he'll direct your path. I'm redeemed. Say, I'm redeemed.
I'm redeemed.
I will not forget your benefits, Jesus. Hallelujah. Just as God requires truth in the mind for true workings of the Holy Spirit, it has to be truth. The devil requires the believing of lies in the mind to hold them in bondage. What is holding you in bondage? And the reason why some people are held in bondage, because you've received lies. And you become complacent. Maybe you've been there a long time. Maybe you ain't frustrated enough. See, we are recognized by the fruit. If we're being schooled by the Holy Spirit, we're known by the fruit. Are we not? The devil don't want to touch love. He can't. He can't touch faithfulness. See, all the fruits of the Holy Spirit, of love, joy, peace, gentleness, and kindness, he can't touch that. And I'll tell you one thing. That kind of schooling, it really comes against the flesh, because the flesh wants to be ugly at times. It wants to have bitterness at times. It wants to call people names at times. In some people, the human being wants to give people a finger sometimes. And you know why we do all that? We're not spiritually minded. If the schooling of the Holy Spirit continues in us, we become spiritual minded, and we no longer give them the finger. We no longer get ugly. We no longer turn to the flesh, you see. Spiritual minded. That's what the school of the Holy Spirit will do. It'll get you spiritual minded. Walking in the Spirit. Receiving truth in your mind. That's what God requires. Everybody in here at one time or another has thrown a rock back, and you try to find a bigger one. What can I throw back that will hurt her or him? That's the way it is, saints. That's the way the flesh is. That means we're not spiritual minded. We're walking in the flesh. We can be. You know, people come to this church and say, oh, Mel, he's been doing this for years, and he believes in miracles, you notice how he's just up there saying all this stuff, and he lays hands on people, and I'll just go and give him a break and sit in the pew and just kind of. I don't believe God can shake people. I don't believe the knees can knock. It must be done according to me. Mark Hankins used to say, man, my mother used to get up and run around the church. Hmm. If I was to say, let's all just take a jog, I ain't doing that. That's charismatic. Well, you ought to become charismatic. Jesus is. Well, praise God. Amen. Say, the Holy Spirit in my life is recognized by the fruits. Complacent, not aware of spiritual danger in the mind, spiritually satisfied, ain't grown no more, not willing to change. Say, God will not give up on me. So you may go through all these frustrations and everything else, and you may say, well, this ain't working, that ain't working. You're in his school. It'll work when he anoints you to have it work. When he releases the anointing in you. When he gets you to a place, position in the kingdom, you see, and it's not about you. You know how much God wants to financially bless us and give us everything we need? But you see, we've gotten off from this school of the Holy Spirit, and we've gotten to, we got a money God. We got a Santa Claus. I pulled the chain 3 times. He never answered me. Well, maybe you're not a good steward. Hallelujah. Last place, 1 Corinthians 6. Praise you, Jesus. Say, I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
Mm-hmm. I said to my wife, I was up at 3 o'clock in the morning. He says, everybody's complacent. They've tasted a little bit, and they just kind of, I'll just go up and just let him touch me. I just, you know. I was in a church, in a service one night, and I had convinced this guy in Manitou to let me use his, he owned a great big restaurant. And I convinced him to let me use one of his rooms. He said, what do you want to do? I said, I want to pray for people. He said, really? So I had borrowed 100 chairs off from Ted, and Ted came and got them a week later. So I went back to this guy. He says, would you like to invest in some chairs? He said, when are you going to pay it back? When Jesus comes? I says, no, I'll give it back to you. Well, he started coming to the service, the guy that owned the place. And he stood up one time, he said, Mayo, do you just think that God wants to touch everybody and just set them free and save them? And I said to myself, I can't believe I'm hearing this. Well, it was a ministry up there, mostly the teens, and there was great big windows like this, and there'd be teens out there walking up and down so high on pot and everything else. They had snakes around their neck, and finally I'd get someone out there to get them to come in, and I'd pray for them. You could almost get high from praying for them. It's a true story. I mean, this stuff was coming out of them like, ooh, I don't know if this is the Holy Ghost or the heart, man. I was up there for 6 or 8 months. No one would come up there. One guy came up to visit me, and he drove up to the place where I was ministering, got out of the car, and the top of the tree broke off. And like to knock him silly, didn't hit him, but he got in that car and took off. He said, I ain't going up there, the devil's up there. That's a true story. So I was in my home holding Bible studies, and all the people that came to the home, 20, 30, they would not go to the Manitou. So it was just me and my little wife. And we went up there, man, started screaming and the word of God and speaking the name of Jesus and all that stuff and everything else. And this guy, he finally got to realize what charismatic was all about, what the gifts were all about. Because he saw these teens coming in and getting saved. Many teens we'd call their parents, they were runaways, and got them back together through the grace of God and the love of God and praying over them and everything else. See, sometimes if you got a ministry and it's really in those areas, you may have to just do it yourself. You can't turn around and say, will you come with me? See, if you say, will you come with me? You don't believe you got Jesus with you. That's all you need. And it's not wrong to go 2 by 2. Hallelujah. And so me and my wife done that for, I don't know, 6 or 8 months, whatever it was. And God told me to visit a church in the Springs. And I went down and visited a church. And I was sitting there. Everybody in the church was sick. You had to see this. I mean, and finally the pastor said to me, he approached me, he said, "Would you take this over? I'm so sick, I can't continue in ministry." He was an older fella. And that's where he got that little communion table from out there. I said, "Sure, I'll take it over." Well, he went to a friend of mine in town, and he said, "I turned it over to Pastor Mayo." Oh, he said, "Oh, Mayo will get after those demons." I had never in my life saw so many sick people. Where was I at? I was in the schooling of the Holy Spirit. See, the thing you want is, you want wealthy people to come in. God, send me some millionaires that will tithe. God went down through the Springs with a bulldozer, a backhoe, whatever you call those things, a grader, and dumped every sick person, mental person. Me and my wife were convinced we were mental. You know, you draw what you are. It's a true story. This actually happened in our ministry. I was being schooled. See, I had thoughts. No, I don't want to be messing with them people. And I'll tell you one thing, and then the pipes would freeze in the wintertime, and the person would say, "I got to go to the ladies' room. Will you come with me?" 5 would get up, and I only had 7 or 8 of them there. And they'd go to the ladies' room, and when they got back, it was all over. I was being schooled. It's not about Ellery. It's not about what you like, you see. It's about what God's going to do in your life. So I went through all these different schoolings of the Holy Spirit. And I'm still being schooled today. I could tell you stories. I had a place down at Southgate. And I used to, everybody come on Friday night, man. I used to pray for people. And there was a big platform and there was a curtain behind it like this here. Well, one lady came and she was sleeping with another pastor. And I was aware of it. She played a guitar. And so she came up, and she wanted to be free. So I prayed for her, and she went through the curtain and landed behind the curtain with just her feet sticking out. So I'm going and praying for people, and I hear all this noise. I, what is going on? And I opened those curtains, boy, and she was laying back there, never done it before, and just a praying in tongues. I said, "Boy, you're something else, Jesus." Boy, she was just going at it. She was in there for I don't know how long she was in there. But just her feet were sticking out. It was the weirdest thing. But I had a ministry down there. I was being schooled. And nothing was according to what I wanted. God, send me some. Listen, this is a true story. The church I had before I was telling you about, I took over for the guy. I said, "Lord, I need to have some millionaires, some wealthy people." Service is all over. On a Friday night, this lady comes up in a Mercedes with fur all around her shoulders, all dressed up, man. I said, "Oh, here comes the first millionaire," to myself. "Are you Pastor Mayo?" "Yeah." "Is that your piano back there?" I felt like saying, "No, it's hers. Who thinks that is?" Anyway, it was that white piano sitting out there. She says, "God sent me here to play the piano for you and sing." I said, "Oh my God, thank you, Jesus." I ain't seen her since. I don't know if it was the devil driving the Mercedes dressed up like a woman or what. Oh, I was all prepared the next Friday, man. This lady is going to come. She's going to play the piano. She's going to feel the anointing. And she's going to drop $1 million in the basket. I looked in the basket that Friday. I had $1.75. I was in school. See, what do you, where are you in school and where did you quit? What did God ask you to do? And the minute you didn't have everything just fall at your feet, this ain't God. What did I say? 1 Corinthians 6? One more. And we'll quit. verse 9. I want to read these three verses. I'm going to go 1 Corinthians 6, 9, 10, 11. Okay, Sue? 1 Corinthians 6, starting verse 9, 10, 11. I'm just going to read them all. You do not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. You do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, or adulterers, or adulterers, or homosexuals, sodomites, nor thieves, or covetous, nor drunkards, or rebels, or extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 11, and such were some of you. See, some of these people were doing this, but you were washed. Listen, saints, if you can get the truth out of that, you see, some were homosexuals, some were drunk, some were murderers, and so, but they were washed by the blood. Where? At the cross of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's truth. So when you accepted Jesus Christ, you weren't getting forgiven then. You had already been washed. He died for the world. And some of us may not be doing these, we're doing other things, but you've been washed. So if you commit sin, you've been washed. And we'll all sin. Can you receive that? See, if you can get that truth from here into here, Satan won't lie to you. You're just some old sinner. You ain't getting nothing from God. You're a bad person, and so on and so forth. You see, truth must be built into here in order for God to respond. And so it says here, some of you, but you were washed, but some, and you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of our God. Listen, saints, when you accept Jesus, you're not forgiven then. You were washed at the cross. You were healed at the cross. You were forgiven at the cross. And to walk in the resurrection power, which is truth, by the teaching and schooling of the Holy Spirit, is to believe that you were washed back then. See, he said some of you were doing this, but you were washed. It means all weren't doing it, but some were doing it. So let me tell you something, saints. People don't want to receive this, but he washed every homosexual at the cross. That doesn't mean they stopped doing it. They're probably still doing it. I'm not saying that. But he washed them. If they'll accept the washing, if the murderer are drunk, or if you and I will accept the washing, you see, we can get on in the resurrection power of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That'll be truth built into us. That's the schooling of the Holy Ghost. Well, we got four people agree. Praise God. Hallelujah. Spiritual complacent, not aware of spiritual danger in the mind. You're spiritually satisfied. You're complacent. You've gone into neutral. You're not confessing the word of God. You're not growing. You're just kind of blah. Well, I don't know. I used to pray, and God ain't telling me to pray no more. Guess who's telling you that little story? God don't have to tell you to pray. God is in you. Hallelujah. We've all been washed. That's truth, saints. And that's what the Holy Spirit grasped. The whole world was washed in the blood of Jesus. Now, whether they accept that is another thing. But nevertheless, it's been done. Ain't you been washed? You didn't know that, you just now. Some of you. You're healed. You're washed. That's the schooling of the Holy Ghost. That's getting truth in your mind versus lies. Some people say, the reason why is because your parents done this and generational curses. And he took the curse, by the way. And all this and all that. And lies are in your mind. The adversary is running around seeing who he can devour. The more lies you get in your mind, the more he'll devour you. He'll convince you God don't heal no more. Tongues went away with the apostles. They weren't gifts of the apostles. They were gifts of the Holy Ghost. Amen? Hallelujah. And guess what? Everything you're hearing is free. I'm not going to pass a basket. I'm not going to ask for partners. I got one. His name is Jesus. Do you lack anything, Alry? I don't lack nothing. I got you, Jesus. At one time I thought I did. I almost said to him one time, when you sent that lady by with the Mercedes and all the furs and jewels all over her hand, I've never got an answer. I says, that's the devil. All that week, I said, oh, boy. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. When I got there Friday night, there were still a little 7 or 10 people there, mental, sick. Never gave me and my wife a hard time. They loved me and my wife. And I bet I prayed for them 15,000 times. And then, oh, I feel it, Pastor. I feel it, Pastor. One lady came up. I mean, they were always doing something. One lady came up, and she hadn't been up. She just sat there and watched me. Weeks went by, months went by. And she came up one time, and I prayed for her, and she went like this. You got it. I thought I was diseased or something. I said, got what? Hallelujah. Praise you. Say, ha, 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 devil. I'm washed in the blood. I'm a temple of the Holy Spirit. I'm a son and a daughter of God. I have grace. I'm not going to be spiritual complacent. There's people sitting here right now. You've gone so far, and you just think you're just some giant. Hallelujah. Ken was standing out here with Kay, and I came out of the office. He said, welcome to Creative Faith Ministries. I said, I feel like Superman coming out of a phone booth. That's a little joke. Laugh. I don't have that many funnies today. I'm an unemployed comedian. Hallelujah. You know, turn to 2 Chronicles 7:14, just 1 minute. 2 Chronicles 7:14. Look at that. See, we can't change America. We can't change Palestine, Afghanistan. We can't change. You see, if my people, he'll heal the land. See, what we're doing is sitting there listening to Beck all the time. That guy rambles on about some stuff. See, I'm positive, man. If we'll do this, he'll heal the government. And don't get complacent when the election comes up in 12. Well, the other guy, he's no good either. Put him in there. You want to do no better. You got to vote the Bible. And you know 12 means a turnaround? Are we expecting it? Yeah. I am. Yeah. See, I spend intercessory prayer at 3 o'clock in the morning every time I'm awake, praying for them people over there, praying for America, praying for our government, praying for the Republicans and Democrats, because I think they're both in trouble. Amen. He'll heal the land. People will go back to work. We'll have a great revival. It ain't no point in heaven being healed if you don't know Jesus. You don't get revival. You don't see souls. You don't see miracles. He'll heal the land. How'll he do it? He'll sweep across here with his breath and his wind, and you'll see a great moving of God. See, we want him to heal it, to everybody make money, and just kick back. I can get a $1 million house for $500,000. Well, praise God. Listen, you got all you need, the kingdom. But if you'll pray, seek his face. In other words, Jesus is more important than you and I are. He's more important than our gifts. Amen? Seek his face. Tell him, be humble before him. Tell him you're a son, you're a daughter. Tell him, I want to change, Lord. I want to represent you. I want to go to the Holy Ghost school. I want to be filled with the Spirit, speaking from the Spirit of God, speaking from the Spirit of truth. But I just don't want to speak it. I want to see it demonstrated through me. I want His love flowing through me. No one's going to get anything if we don't get His love. That means you're willing to pray for anybody. One more story. I was down in North Park. I was praying, and there's a big skinny guy, like a pencil. And he came in the church late, and he was walking back and forth. This guy was skinny, man. Walking back and forth. Finally, I said, "Who needs prayer?" First one up there. I prayed for him. He had AIDS. A month later, he wrote me a letter and said he was completely healed. He had no evidence of AIDS in his body. And he had not gone back to that lifestyle. He went home to his parents. See, I'd had these little teasings of God, the little power of God operating. You want it every time you turn around, power of God, oh, power of God, power of God. No, sometimes you got to get frustrated. Sometimes you got to go through trials. Sometimes you got to go through testings. Sometimes, all the time, you got to go to the Holy Ghost school. You want the land healed? Pray for it. Ask for revival. You see, that's why I was saying, if we all start going to Holy Ghost school, people will come in here and feel such love of God, they'll be on their face confessing Jesus. I've seen it. I was preaching one time in Pueblo, and this guy was up front, man. I was walking like this, and he walked with me. Finally, I said, "What do you want?" He said, "I want to get saved." I went, "Oh, my God, Elroy, you idiot. Don't want to be disturbed. The guy wants to get saved. Way to laughter." See, I've had all these experiences. What is it? That's the school of the Holy Ghost. You have to be able to adjust. He's not up here. He's walking back and forth. He wanted to get saved. Huh? Hallelujah. Well, let's just play this and we'll... Let's go into black. Number one, please. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Are you blessed? Amen. Give the Lord a clap offering. And while he's getting that up, don't forget this. You're getting ready to leave here in a couple of minutes. Take a look at it. Really, okay? Maybe you'll get anointing over there, a freshness or something. Have a desire to lead people to Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus.
In these last days, you're pouring out of your love, just the way you said it'd be. There are hands reaching up and a spirit coming down. They're singing their songs of jubilee. There's healing of the mind and the soul of every man. You're meeting all of our needs. I'm a part of the move of the spirit of the dove that's breaking down the walls of man and setting God's children free. The beautiful, beautiful spirit of the dove that's breaking down the walls of man and setting God's children free. It's the beautiful, beautiful spirit of the dove that's breaking down the walls of man and setting God's children free.
Thank him for the Holy Ghost. He's setting us free. He's taking us to school. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. What's your first name?
Mark.
Mark? Ooh. Marky. He got his hand in his finger. His name is Mark, too. That's the reason why I say that. Hallelujah. Pray. I can see a revolving door. And God says, my son, from this moment on, there will be no longer a revolving door. There's some things in your life you just haven't been able to conquer. And there's been some things spiritually that's been going on in your life, and you're not quite sure how to get beyond this. But God says there's a refreshing coming upon your life today. The Spirit of God is going to rise up in you. And every chain and that which held you locked into some places is being broken by my blood, saith the Lord. And you shall be a man of God that rises up in my wisdom, and direction will come from you. Come into you by my Spirit, saith the Lord. You will have the wisdom, is starting as early as this afternoon. Things are going to start coming into your mind. Thoughts from the Holy Spirit that's going to give direction to your life. There's times when you've gone before me, saith the Lord, and you've opened your heart to me, and there's just been a tremendous spiritual battle going on. But God says you've came and you've came and you've sought me, and today is your day for refreshing. Today is your day, no longer a revolving door, going around, going back in, going back out, going back in. God says you'll be steadfast in me. You'll be refreshed today, and there'll be anointing upon your life that'll break the yoke of bondage. Look for my Spirit and look for wisdom, because in it, God's going to give you direction, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen? Amen. Isn't God good? Praise you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We love you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. What's your first name? I like to get people the first time they come here. See? It doesn't mean I don't give words to everybody. I do. David. David, I can see a slippery slope. And you have been slipping and sliding. You just can't get out of a place. And God says, you will come out. You will come out because my Spirit will come upon you. You don't have some areas how to get out of that. You need the Spirit of truth. And he's going to grant that to you because you as a temple and the Spirit of God is in you. And there has been great battles at times in your emotions and in your mind. And God says, my mind is available to you. So you haven't had the energy or desire to do some things from the Word of God or to seek God in some areas. You seem to be very, very tired spiritually. God's going to give you a refreshing today. He's going to build you back up, and you're going to have an energy flow through you. Complacent will not no longer be a part of your life, spiritual complacent. You'll be awakened by the Spirit of God. You're going to feel refreshed. Tomorrow morning when you get out of bed, you're going to see a difference in your life, and you probably won't even have to done nothing. It's just the promise and the prophecy of the Holy Spirit being spoken into your life that's going to bring life into you. God says it's all over. The enemy will not take you down. You will not be slipping all over the place. You'll be on solid ground from this moment forward, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Amen? Isn't God good? Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Are you praying about making the decision about something? Young lady right here. You're not? Don't look at her. You're old enough. There's a decision that's going to rise up in you. You're not quite sure. It hasn't come for you. It's going to come from the Spirit of God within you. And you're going to have, there's something you're going to have to make a decision about. He's going to help you make that decision. And it's going to be something that's going to encourage you. It's going to have you make like you're worth something and you're alive in you by the Spirit of God. It's going to complete something in your life. And so you haven't got it yet, but the Spirit of God is going to rise it up in you. You know the book of Isaiah when he saw it down through time? That's how I'm seeing right now. I'm seeing something that you don't know about that God wants to do in your life. And he's encouraging you to receive it today in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. Praise you, King Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. I can see in front of me a door. You know, God says in the book of Revelation, any door I open, no man will close. There's been a door open for you. Now, hallelujah. There's been a door open for you, Jerry. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, what is this door? Well, you know something? People sometimes want to just sit down. Give me a taste of that. Oh, here, dear. You want a little bit of this. You know what you need to do? You need to find out what that door is. The Spirit of God, the schooling of the Holy Spirit, will teach you what that door is. And it's a door of victory. It's a door of blessings. It's a door of anointing. It's a door of grace. It's a door of financial blessings. It's a door of finding out what God's got you on this earth for. To complete something. Amen? Hallelujah. Yes. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Who are you? Huh? You look different. Have you done something? Oh, the beard. Oh, the beard. Hallelujah. There's something changed in you. You don't look like the old Tom. There's something changed in you. The trouble is, you sometimes don't want to give into it. God says, I got a school. It's called the school of the Holy Spirit. And as I'm talking, you know exactly what it is. God's trying to teach you faithfulness, number one. Commitment. Not to yourself, to my word, saith the Lord. Well, how come you're spanking me? I'm not spanking you, God is. You know why? Sometimes we got to get a little slap on the hiney to change directions. Oh, I shouldn't have been going that way. I got slapped. You know why people don't come here? Well, this place ought to be packed out. No one wants to hear what God's got to say. You know that? I want some flashing lights, man. I want some steam coming out of the floor. Go take a shower. You know, I've been in this little thing all my life since I've been in ministry. It was a real ball, man, when I was with those sick people and those mental people. If I say, turn around three times, they would. They were so obedient to God. Hallelujah. You know something? Jesus said you've been baptized in the Holy Ghost with fire, right? How many people we got here losing hair? One back there? Yeah? Little one, one here? You know what's going to... And Tom, you know this is what God said. Top of your head is red. That means you got the fire of God in your life. You're going to have the fire of God. You're going to have the fire of God. Back here. You were talking back here. You're going to have the fire of God. Are you listening? See, you didn't even know what I said, did you? I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about the one behind you. Now you'll have to buy a CD. I had a little guy I knew one time. He was really anointed. He hits me standing up here. He's about 4 feet, four foot nine, something like that. And red would come up out of his neck, over the top of his head, and he would take off and jump over the pews and minister to people. I enjoyed that so much, I thought he was going to break his neck. He never did. And everything he said would come to pass. But that's how God used him. If it was happening here, people would say, I don't believe he should be doing that. You didn't see a Mercedes pull up, did you? The reason why I'm doing this, I ain't finished yet. God ain't finished. Amen? Hallelujah. If anybody needs prayer right now, for whatever, you heard the whole message, come up here now and I'll pray for you. Hallelujah, if you need prayer. You see that flowing right there? That's what we're looking for. Amen? River of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, ain't this good? Huh? It don't get much better? Oh, it's better. That's better, George. That, huh? Randall, that down there. Jeff, come on, right behind him there. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. No, come over here, behind here. Chris, please. After a while, you'll catch on to my pointings. I point and sometimes grunt. You're just looking?
I was talking earlier, I'm sorry.
Get the stick. Yeah, in a minute. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's right. One laugh, one shake. Praise God. If you want to run, run. As long as you don't run over me. Hallelujah. Is your red head getting red? How do you know? You can't see it. Huh? Right? Let me see. Yeah, it is.
Is it?
I'm serious. No, no. The sun don't do this. This is the Holy Ghost. Okay? Are you still working?
Yes.
Praise God. Close your eyes. Get his wallet. Praise God. And yeah, right. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, I touch my brother right now, Lord. I bless him with your grace. I bless him with your peace. I bless him with the anointing, Lord. I bless him with the impartation. Ooh, of the Holy Spirit, the fire. Fire! Fire! Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Fire! Fire! Hallelujah. Fire! Fire! Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Fire! Fire! Hallelujah. Fire! Fire in the name of Jesus. Fire, fire, fire of the Holy Ghost. Fire, fire in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Ooh, I'm getting more than someone else's. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Can you feel that presence? Oh, yeah. She says, oh, yeah. Hallelujah. Oh, praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lee. Praise you, Jesus. Oh. Fire! Fire! Hallelujah. Oh. The presence of God, top of her head to the soles of her feet. The healing power of Jesus going into her. Be healed in Jesus' name. Be healed in Jesus' name. Be healed in Jesus' name. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you. Leslie, pray for her, please. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Raise your hands, dear. Hallelujah. Oh, the fire of the Holy Spirit. Fire of the Holy Spirit. Fire! Fire! In Jesus' name. Oh, be healed throughout your body. Be healed throughout your body. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hey, George, get your motorcycle and run down through here one time. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. To God be the glory. Father God, we thank you and we praise you for this morning, Lord. We thank you for your healing. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the move of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Oh, we honor you today, Lord Jesus. You are King. You are our priest. You are our Christ. You are our salvation, our compassion. We draw everything from you, Lord Jesus Christ, just like it's being drawn right now, Lord. Your presence in this place, your Holy Spirit, the fire of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord Jesus, and thank you for the school of the Holy Spirit. And thank you, Lord, that we're going to recognize we are in school and we're going to have victory regardless of what situation we're in, regardless how frustrated we are. We're going to have victory. We're going to have our season because you are faithful, Lord Jesus Christ, to your word. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, are we blessed? Highly favored, she said. Praise God. Tom, yeah. Come up. You said you wanted something you wanted to say?
I feel like God is calling us, this church, as a group here, that we're supposed to pray for the fires in Arizona when the prophet said there won't be rain. Until I say there's rain, I feel that God is saying that.
You bet. Go ahead. You bet. You bet. Amen. You bet. Go ahead. Yeah.
When Ellery was sharing earlier, he said about how they had come to Colorado and he saw the mountains, and a week later it's like he didn't recognize them anymore. And I don't know if you remember, on Friday there was so much smoke here from the fires in Arizona we couldn't see the mountains. And I really feel God's calling us to pray for rain. When the prophet said there won't be rain until I say there's rain.
Amen.
It didn't rain until he told his helper, you go and tell the king it's going to rain. And the helper said, there's not a cloud on the horizon. And he said, you go tell the king it's going to rain. And before he got to the king, it started to rain. And when Ellery shared that earlier, I really felt that God was saying, this is what I want you to do. I will show you the favor that I have on you. And Can I just share a scripture?
Yeah.
In 2 Chronicles 7:12, it says, "The Lord appeared to Solomon that night and said to him, 'I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. Then I shut the heavens and the earth. There is no rain, and the command of the locust to devour the land and the pestilence among my people.'" And of course, 14, we're all familiar with, "My people are called by my name and humble themselves and pray, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, and I will hear from heaven and forgive their sins, heal the land." And 15 says, "Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayers made in this place." And 6, and the next verse says, "For now I have chosen and sanctified the house that by my name may be there forever, and my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually." So I really feel, when Ellery shared 2 Chronicles earlier, and I sensed that God was saying that he wants this place, he wants two things. Number one, God is calling us as a body of people. God says, "I'm here perpetually, and my ears and my eyes are open to what you have to say." And individually, whether we take it from this place, whether we take it into our city, whether we take it into our state, and we have to have a broader vision. God is saying, don't just look at what's going on in Colorado around you, but look what's going on in our country. Even God's going to open opportunities for each and every one of us to pray for places where things are going on, such as what happened in the Midwest or the middle of the country with the tornadoes and everything. When this starts to happen, we are going to have authority to stop that.
Praise God.
So let's pray about that right now. Father God, we just pray, Lord, over the things that are going on in Arizona, as you've laid on our hearts today. Father, the forecasters have said there is no rain in sight for any of those fires. They're 100% out of control. They cannot contain them, and there's no rain in the forecast to stop and help them. But Father, we just call from heaven the rain from heaven, Father God, that it will devour those fires, that they will be stopped, and Father, that everything will be put under the hands that are commanded to stop those fires and to put them into place. So, Father, we just command that rain from heaven.
Thank you, Lord.
Father, we send forth the angels to open up the heavens, that they will be consumed and that they will be devoured, the fires will. And, Father, that there will be no more smoke in Colorado Springs, no more destruction of the land, Father God. Your eyes are open to us. Your ears are open to us in this place. And we just call it forth in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. God bless you, Tom. You bet. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Well, God bless you. Shake someone's hand, say something nice, and have a great day.